Well, good morning. It's good to be here. I missed two Sundays, and that's a long time to be away. And it's always good to be here and to be back. I really appreciated the singing this morning. And when I'm up front and can see your faces as you sing and can see you worshiping, that does something for me as well. My message this morning is entitled, "You'll Get Nowhere Without Me." Of course, that's Jesus speaking. John 15, and this is the first half of John 4 and the last half of verse 4, the last half of verse 5 says, "Abide in me, and I in you, for without me ye can do nothing." I've been preaching through the book of Colossians, and what I had done a few messages ago now, I had kind of sorted out in chapter 3 and 4 the different verses that address those under authority and those in authority. And we looked at those under authority, and now we're looking at the verses that address those that are in authority. And I've kind of cherry-picked these verses, went down through and put them together. These are verses that would speak to those in authority, and specifically, fathers, husbands, men in general. I'm going to read, the last time I read the entire chapter 3 and 4, so I think that we will not do that this time. And I'll just read these verses that I put together here, and then we will make some comments on them. So Colossians 3:19 says, "Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them, or harsh against them. Fathers," in verse 21, "fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And whatsoever ye do," in verse 23, "whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." And that is a universal command there. That's not to those under or those over, or not only to those, it's to all of us. Whether we are serving, whether we are in authority, and authority is a position of service, but whatever we are called to, whatever our lot in life, whatever it is, do it heartily as to the Lord. So if you are in authority and you are giving directive to someone, do it as though working for the Lord. If you are serving, do it as though working for the Lord. Verse 24, doing it heartily as to the Lord, because knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. And then going on into Colossians 4, verse 1, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." And that's a little bit where we're going this morning, where I say, you'll get nowhere without me. "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Verse 6, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." And verse 17, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." Okay, we're going to take a closer look at some of the things that are commanded here, but first we need to look at how we are going to do them. Men, I think a very high percentage of us would have to say we are guilty of this. We buy something at the store, or anymore it comes in a box from Amazon or whatever it is, and we take it out of the package and there's some assembly required, and we take it and we put it together and try to use it, or we try to put it together or whatever. And to be fair, a lot of times we can put something together and make it work without looking at it a whole lot. But there's the phrase, if all else fails, we read the instructions. And I would like for us to look, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. What I would like for us to look at this morning, and what I would like for you to take away from this message, is if you can simply learn, if I can simply learn to hear Christ saying, in whatever situation, Whatever is going on, whatever dreams and ambitions you might have, however grand or small, to hear Christ saying, you'll get nowhere without me. Without me, ye can do nothing. You'll get nowhere without me. And also saying, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So on one hand, we have to say, I can do nothing without Christ. And on the other hand, we get to say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. So John chapter 15, and I want to read the start at verse 1 and read the first 14 verses. Here Jesus is talking to the disciples, giving them some instructions, let's just read that, and then we'll go on. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I'm going to give you an illustration there before I go on. Last year, at the end of in the fall, the end of the season, Tractor Supply had a bunch of trees on sale, and I made them an offer for the last 11 trees, and they accepted the offer, and so I brought home 11 trees, and we planted a number of them in the yard. Some of them were apple trees we planted out back and so on. I'm not an expert in any way, shape, or form on trees. I know virtually nothing about trees except that I like them. So I planted all these trees, and this spring, it was late enough in the year that they didn't do a whole lot last year, but we planted them, we kept them watered, we put some manure and straw and stuff around them to keep them protected a little bit through the winter. And this spring, when it started warming up, I started looking at these trees. And I'd go to one, oh, there's a bud. That one's growing. That one made it. And I go to the next one and the next one. And 10 out of the 11 trees had leaves and buds, and some of them flowered and whatever. The very obvious thing to look for was growth, fruit. Whether that fruit is edible or whether that's leaves or whatever that might be. It was very easy. And right now, I have a tree that none of these have grown a lot. I just planted them last fall. But they were potted plants, so some of them are as tall as me or taller. And here it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. I have one tree that is about 4 foot tall that is nothing but a dead stick. That tree, I'm not going to try to fertilize it. I'm not going to trim it. I'm not going to do anything to it except pull it out and replace it, get rid of it, whatever. That one failed. And now I had a guy at my house here a month or so ago, and to me these trees are, they're looking all right, but they're pretty tall and whippy. And he says, oh, you need to cut the tops off of these trees so they'll flower more. He said they'll do a lot better. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So those trees may say, boy, I'm, as if trees can talk, but they may say, boy, look at me, I'm really growing tall branches and so on. And someone that knows something about trees says, no, you need to be trimmed here and there. You need to have some things done that you'll produce more. But no one in their right mind is going to go to this dead tree and prune it or dress it or fertilize it or whatever. They simply take it away. And that's how Jesus said he does. Every branch that beareth not fruit. And another thing, we're looking at abiding. We're looking at being receiving from Christ, enabling us to do. That dead tree, if I were to come and make you an offer or try to sell that tree, you would not take it. It's obviously dead. But if I were to take one of the live trees and cut it off at ground level and stick it in some dirt so you can't tell it's cut off, I might convince you to buy it from me. But if I were to bring that tree to you, cut off, even though it still has the leaves, it hasn't wilted yet, if I were to bring that tree to you and it's cut off and try to sell you a live tree, you're going to say, no way. It needs to be connected to the stump. It needs to be connected to the roots. And that's how we are. We must be connected in order to grow. Okay, verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. I hear Jesus saying that it is essential that we draw our strength from him. We must be committed. We must be sold out. We must be all in. But all of our best intentions will fall far short if we aren't abiding in him. Let's look at this word abide. I told Menno we're going to preach about him a little bit this morning. The word abide is meno. And it means it's a primary verb, and it means to stay in a given place, a given state, relation, or expectancy. And then it's translated abide, continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand, tarry. To abide, plain and simple, takes time. And that's another thing that we men, that's why we don't read the instructions. We want to get this, whatever it is, whether it's a toy or a tool, we want to get it out, put it together, and start using it. Instructions take time. Jesus is saying, you need to abide with me. Some examples we have are from Luke 10. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village and verse 38. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And so what Jesus is saying is, Martha, you're very busy doing good things to serve me, but you'll get nowhere without me. In Luke 24, this is when Jesus is leaving his disciples. He's just about to ascend into heaven. Verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He's saying, this is necessary. It needs to happen. The preaching needs, the word needs to go out. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye, that word abide, tarry, wait, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. You guys have a wonderful message to share, but wait. you'll get nowhere without me. There in John chapter 15, go back to chapter 14, verses 15. Back to verse 15. And we'll see that Jesus does give us commandments. He does say there are things required of us. But then we'll transition into that chapter 15 where we read, where he says, now remember guys, you can't do any of this on your own. So verse 14, and remembering, thinking about this as we read this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do nothing without Christ. If you love me, John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then he goes on into chapter 15, which we already read, saying we must abide in him, and if we don't, we will be cast forth as a branch, because we simply have no strength to bear fruit. Okay, let's go back to Colossians 3, and we're going to look at each of these verses that we highlighted already. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Husbands, love your wives and don't treat them harshly. Now, if everything in marriage was perfect and easy and no problems, we wouldn't need this verse. And if you want to take it to extremes, Jesus said, love your enemies. So there is no room here or excuse or exception to this command. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. I'm going to take the worst case scenarios here. I mean, I'm going to look at it from the negative side. Assuming there are problems, assuming this is a commandment that you struggle with. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You know, sometimes when there's those emotions that come up and there's those words that are being exchanged, we just might need to stop mid-sentence and say, or ask myself, what is God trying to teach me here? All things work together for good. Is God giving me this moment that Christ be formed in me? Christ bride is the church. And you and I know enough church people to know that Christ's bride is not always easy to love. And yet Christ loves her. Is God giving you this opportunity in order that you may grow in him? Ephesians 5, husbands, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Wives, are you trying to present your husband a wife such as this? Husbands, are you treating your wife in such a way that it encourages her to be this kind of a person? Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So husbands, determine in your heart to love your wives. But remember, you'll get nowhere without me. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Who can name the three things that I mentioned a couple messages ago, and I think I reset it here again, the last message. What are the three keys to having someone's heart? If they believe this about you, you will have their heart. Can somebody... I will never... Oh, I already have it up there. That ruined it. Still nobody knew the answer. I was thinking that was on the next slide. I will never intentionally harm you. I will always work in your best interest. And I will always want you to be all that God wants you to be. Children do things, or don't do things sometimes, that really frustrate us sometimes. And I know I'm repeating myself, but it's on purpose. You might need to stop mid-sentence and say, what is God trying to teach me in this situation? Is God giving me this moment in order that Christ be formed in me? You know, sometimes our children, and this is exactly where I'm at right now, my children are getting big enough to be adults. But they're still young. So it's easy to expect them to be as thorough as adults, to see into things as an experienced adult. And when they don't, it's very easy for me to get frustrated. Fathers, determine in your heart to provoke not your children to wrath. But remember, you'll get nowhere without me, without Christ. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. This is universal to each one mentioned here. Do it heartily as to the Lord, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. There is no respect of persons. We'll come back to that one after a little bit. Colossians 4, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Would you work for what you offer others when they're helping you? Now I realize I am a business owner. I know a little bit about this. It takes a lot of money to pay for equipment. It takes a lot of money to keep things going. You can't just say, well, there's four of us working. We'll split the money four ways. That doesn't work. But are you being fair? Would you work for what you are willing to pay someone else? What about when you eat at a restaurant and you leave a tip? Would you be satisfied with that tip? Would you be glad to see you coming to your table to be served? I feel pretty strongly about this, that I feel that when we leave a restaurant, people are going to form opinions of us, good or bad, stingy, tightwads, generous, whatever it might be. We do need to be polite. I mean, that's all part of it. But what kind of a testimony are we leaving? And I guess I'll say I feel that if you can't afford to tip well, eat at McDonald's. It has to be part of what you're willing to spend for when you go to eat. Are you willing to give and to pay the way you would like to be paid? Verse 2, Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch. Again, this has that idea of abiding. Watch in the same with thanksgiving. Abide. You'll get nowhere without me. Jesus is just saying, or I want us to get this through our minds. We must have that inner power, that inner strength, that abiding in Him to give us the power to do these things that He tells us to do. Verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. You know, sometimes we may just need to stop mid-sentence. And this is something, for me especially, that I've really had to put into practice. Because I can be very quick-witted. Maybe I should say I can be very quick-talking. And I catch myself. No, that's not a good thing to say. And Carl likes to say, well, you started it, you got to finish it. And I say, no, I don't have to. But it works. It's a discipline that you can grow in. Another phrase that you'll hear sometimes is, well, maybe I shouldn't say this. Or, I probably shouldn't say this. And I remember Chuck Swindoll saying one time, and I've done it a lot of times since then. When I hear somebody say that, I say, well, you haven't yet. You can still stop. You're saying you probably shouldn't say this. Then don't. Let your speech be always seasoned with grace. Be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So, let's all determine to be graceful in our speech. But remember, you'll get nowhere without me. Verse 17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Men, this is very serious. When I married my wife, I became, and I know I'm the preacher here in church and I'm whatever you want to call it, but when I married my wife, I became her primary pastor. If you are a husband, if you have a wife, you are your wife's primary spiritual leader. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received, that thou fulfill it. We will give account, and there is no respect of persons. Look back at chapters 3. Verse 24 and 25 in chapter 3. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. I'm getting mixed up in my slides. I was going to have that on there as I read that. So men, take heed, I didn't get this on the slide either, I'm sorry. Take heed that you fulfill the ministry which you have received. Whether that's as a husband, as a father, as a whatever it might be, at work, whatever it may be, take heed that you fulfill it. But remember, you won't get anywhere without Christ. I'd like for us to look at Psalm 46 and to appreciate the power and the stability and the refuge that is our God. Psalm 46. To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed. Try to picture this. You're there and the earth, I would picture this as being an earthquake or something. It actually literally means replaced. Though the earth be exchanged, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, I will not be afraid, though this is happening. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. How often in the last week, how often in the last month, have you, should we say, abided, tarried, waited long enough to be still and know that I am God? I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. John 7:37, the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But remember, you'll get nowhere without me. As I was sitting here on the chairs before or during announcements and whatever, I jotted a few things down. Kids Club, remember, you'll get nowhere without me. This is Jesus speaking, obviously, not me. VBS, will go nowhere without Christ and His enabling Spirit. Going to Detroit for VBS, or to serve. Going to Thailand or China, teaching school. Whatever it might be, you'll get nowhere without me. Husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, youth. Youth have lots of ambitions, lots of dreams and ideas. And that's good. That's wonderful. That's healthy. But you'll get nowhere without Jesus. You'll get nowhere unless you abide in Him. Without Him, you can do nothing. Abide in me, and I in you, for without me, ye can do nothing. I hope that you feel encouraged this morning. I hope that you feel maybe reminded. There are a lot of things in the Scriptures that we're told to do, and they are commandments. They're necessary. They are requirements that God has given us. But always at the base of that, at the source of that, a tree doesn't try to grow leaves. A tree is anchored in the roots. A branch is anchored in the vine and feeds off of that vine. And that's how the fruit is produced. Just encourage us. Let's all be committed. Let's all be refocused on abiding in the vine, drawing our strength, drawing our inspiration, our abilities, everything. Without Christ, we can do nothing. That phrase has just really struck me, I guess, in the last week or so. Without me, ye can do not much. Jesus, He just very simply says, without me, ye can do nothing. May the Lord bless you. There's a meal prepared. You're welcome. You can stand. There's a meal prepared. You're welcome to stay. Visitors, everyone is welcome. So we'll have prayer and be dismissed, and then you can help yourself to the food as you wish. Father, we thank you. I thank you that you have given us your Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you did not leave us comfortless, that when you left, you promised the Spirit and then sent the Spirit in a very visible and real way. I pray, Lord, that you would give each one of us as men, as fathers, as husbands, as leaders, as whatever our position might be, a real sense of our inabilities without you, just that we can do nothing. We'll get nowhere without you. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to remember to relish that opportunity that we have to commune with you, to go in your strength each day. Help us to serve you with all our hearts, in love and humbleness and sincerity, thankfulness. We bless you. Thank you for the food that's been prepared. I pray, Lord, you bless those that put time and energy into that. Thank you for your abundant provision that we enjoy. I pray you bless the food, bless this meal. I pray that our conversation would be edifying and be a blessing to you and to each other. We thank you, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.